broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National verdict.
Regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's a strange story from Brooklyn, New York. The Daily News reports a 58-year-old man was one of four tenants injured after toilets inside his development there exploded when recent pipe repairs led to a dangerous buildup of air pressure. This guy was knocked unconscious from the blast as he was blown up into his ceiling and woke up covered in blood. He was then taken to Methodist Hospital, where he received 30 stitches on his head, arm, and legs to close the shrapnel wounds the toilet inflicted. Ugh. Says this is not the first time high air pressure has caused a toilet to explode. A female employee in a federal building in Washington, D.C., was sent to the hospital in 2011 after suffering serious injuries when the toilet she was sitting on exploded. You have to understand, they say water flow in city pipes is naturally set at a higher pressure because it covers long distances. And once in a while, the pressure goes pop! Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. How are you? It's ironic you mentioned this whole plumbing story because I spent all day today working on plumbing at my house.
Is that right?
And downstairs. You know the plumbing situation downstairs at my house.
It's pretty bad at times.
It is.
So you're nipping it in the bud, before things get too bad.
Oh, yeah, and I'm just hoping I don't build up too much pressure back there so the next person that uses that bathroom down there doesn't go pop.
Well, we need a few more ghosts at your house, don't we? I mean, your house is already a veritable pinhead's graveyard.
True.
We can always add one more spirit to the mix.
It'd be a good selling point one day if I sell the house.
If you ever sell that house, you must disclose that portals to hell were open there. And if you don't, in 100 years, whoever owns the house is going to find out, because all the kids are going to be coming around there camping out and, you know, saying, "Forrest, come forth at night." Can't you envision this happening, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop?
Yes, I can.
Lars Kumpel. The Pumpkin Man.
Pumpkin Man. I've never been in my house.
Gulga, come forth.
That's even better. Did you ever see a ghost at Forest House, Shelley?
No, but I helped create one.
Yeah, that's right. We used to have a laboratory over there, and we still have a few interesting little artifacts stored away, don't we, Forrest?
Needless to say, his fiancée is pretty pissed at the lemur team.
Is Kelly a little scared nowadays, or has she gotten used to it?
She's gotten used to it.
Okay.
I mean, we discuss about things that we see and hear and feel and sense. And
now you do. You just let her walk into it before, and then we all met up after the show one night, and somehow we got on the subject, and she's like, what? What happened? Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, he's getting married soon, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
October 31st. And so, Forrest, what is your wedding going to be like? You guys are going to be dressed up like Chucky and...
Actually, we're doing a little courthouse ceremony. Then the reception, yeah, we're going to have sort of, it's going to be a Halloween party.
So the actual wedding is not going to be decorated Halloween style?
No.
You're not going to have a Bride of Frankenstein wig on Kelly or any of that stuff?
No.
You should. Go all out, man. Go for it. It's Halloween. Oh, well, I wish I could be there, but, you know, October 31st, I am booked solid. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night, I will not be leading a walking tour, because I'm preparing for a big program I'm giving this week, a special event. But I will be leading a Haunted Asheville walking tour on October 27th, and on October 31st. And I'm giving a trolley tour on October 31st. And I've got a few other little special things in store. If you guys were getting married in Asheville, I have to tell you this off the air, but if you were getting married in Asheville, I have special access to something very romantic I could have arranged for you your wedding night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So. Oh, well. Yeah, but anybody who wants to come hang out with me, go to hauntedasheville.com. And, man, last Sunday we had a walking tour downtown. Huge crowd. Everybody loved it. Absolutely loved it. So it's a lot of fun when we go out and do this stuff. So here it is, Halloween time. Don't you just love this time of year? It seems like when you step outside, for some reason, anything can happen. You know what I mean? You expect that flying saucer to land. You expect that ghost to emerge from that puff of smoke.
It's just that feeling in the air.
The veil is thinning, huh? And, in fact, I want to talk maybe a little bit later about why this time of year actually is special. But here are some other things that we're going to dig into tonight. We are going to touch base with Otis from Pinhead's Graveyard. I think, you know, I've been so busy this month, I might have implied at one point that this was going to be our last show before Halloween. That's not correct if I did that. We have one more show, which is going to air on October 26th. That will be our real, real Halloween show. This is one of our Halloween editions, which is why, you know, you'll hear some of the bumper reflects horror movies and spooky stuff like that. And also, of course, the content has a Halloween spin. But next Saturday, October 26th, is going to be our real, real Halloween show.
We going to camp out again?
I'm not sure what we're going to do. I've been thinking about it, and there are a lot of ideas floating around. How do you feel about that? Are you going to be with us that night, Shelley? Are you going to, if we camp out?
Of course I'll be really? There. Well, I don't know. I'm not allowed to camp out with you guys.
Yeah, that's right. We don't want to create too much controversy here. Forrest and I, we both have ladies who might be a little jealous if we did that, huh?
True.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It would become a mass murder. Another reason people would be, Forrest and Joshua and Gulga come forth. Actually, you know what? It probably used to be Shelley who got murdered. It would just be Shelley come forth.
Yeah.
Our women would murder you, Shelley. That's what would happen.
I don't think so. I'm a scrapper.
We're going to talk to Otis from Pinhead's Graveyard. Now, have you ever been to Pinhead's, Shelley?
I think I have.
You think you have?
I know I have.
Yeah. You don't think you've been to Pinhead's. You've either been or you haven't. So, you haven't, though.
Well, maybe I have. I've been to lots of places. It looks very familiar.
Pinhead's Graveyard is the only outdoor haunted house in Western North Carolina.
Okay, it was outdoors, and there were scary things.
And it's been around for 17 years, Pinhead's Graveyard. We're going to talk to Otis from Pinhead's Graveyard, and I understand that as we speak, they are out there terrorizing and possibly murdering people. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, I bring this up every year. I can't help it. You get a bunch of guys out there in the woods, and you give them chainsaws and machetes and things, and they're running around scaring people, supposedly for fun. Well, how easy would it be for a real madman to slip into that forest?
There you go again.
And kill somebody, or two, or three. How many people could this guy murder before the truth was revealed? Because there would just be screaming and blood, and everybody would say, oh man, the special effects here are incredible. And it's one thing when you have a haunted house, and maybe you can contain who gets access. But when you go to Pinhead's Graveyard, and I don't know if they like it for me to bring this up or not. They probably don't, because it becomes too scary at this point. But to me, when you go into Pinhead's Graveyard, and a big giant man with a chainsaw comes running after you, you should know somewhere in the back of your mind, it's possible. This is real.
Run.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that good or bad for business, Forrest? I mean,
it attracts business.
Does it?
Yes.
I mean, some people would be like, oh, man, I never thought of that. Screw that. I'm not going there. So, I mean, or if you're the type of person who's going to go there to begin with, I don't know. I guess at very least, you should take it more seriously when you go to Pinhead's Graveyard. Those of you who don't go, I understand. Those of you who do go should be extra scared.
Good luck.
Extra scared, yeah. So we'll see. We'll get an update on Otis about what's going on there this year and tonight specifically. I know he's bringing back one of the guys who played Leatherface, R.A. Mihailov, who I interviewed on this program last year. And then also we're going to bring Mr. Mobius on hour number two. He has a special little update for us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you an update on my Creepy Little Tales project, and I love a good McDonald's story. So let's start the show off tonight with a McDonald's story. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight, I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Oh, my God.
give a pitiful light. But the faraway glow of the will-o'-the-wisp offers hope in the menacing night. It is lonely and cold in the forest, and you shiver with fear in the damp as you follow the way of the will-o'-the-wisp and the dance of its flickering lamp. But know, as you trudge through the forest toward that glistering torch in the gloom, that the eerie allure of the will-o'-the-wisp summons you down to your doom. It will lead you astray in the forest, over ways never traveled before. If ever you follow the will-o'-the-wisp, you'll never be seen anymore. One of the things we like to do this time of year is read poetry once in a while from one of my favorite books, Nightmares, Poems to Trouble Your Sleep by Jack Prolutsky. And whenever I read that one about the will-o'-the-wisp, it reminds me of the Brown Mountain Lights. That's one of the terms that's used for these strange lights that just flicker and flip through the trees. And you know what's interesting, and I'm sure we've talked about this on the program before, especially with Miss Wright in the studio. There is an old legend that if you see a light in the woods at night or the swamps at night and you follow that light through the trees, if you locate it, if you can find the spot of emanation and dig there, you might find a buried treasure. And, of course, the bad part is your greed can drive you into some very dangerous territory at night, which is what summons you down to your doom. Now, Shelley, have you ever heard this before?
I have, and I've also heard that there is only one way that you can be okay if you see this.
What is that?
If you're pure of heart, like a child. Children are led out of the woods.
Yeah, well, forest and I are dead.
Yeah, you guys, you're toast.
Well, yeah, what
I have a chance.
You know, I'm always taking, yeah, sure. I'm always taking stories like that and thinking, like, how could this logically be true? And it seems to me that, well, a pile of treasure is a very nice conductor. And on certain nights, when the conditions are right, it could build up an electrical charge and create kind of a corona effect, like a St. Elmo's fire. So there may be some truth to the fact that if a large deposit of highly conductive metal is buried in a relatively shallow grave, you could see some light around it at night on a very dark night. But again, you go tracing out there after it in the woods, well, you could be screwed. Reminds me of a creepy little tale. And I have an update for all of you. Of course, I have been working on this project for a while called Creepy Little Tales, where I have been asking people from all over the world to send me their own creepy little tale. There are only three rules. It has to be true, it has to be short, and it has to sort of make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. It could have to do with ghosts, or UFOs, or cryptids, or psychic phenomena, or spirituality, or synchronicity. And we've gotten tons of stories from all over the place. And so, I just sealed a publishing deal for this book, tentatively titled Creepy Little Tales. It's going to be out this spring, but so it's actually going to be published. We know that for sure. And if you contribute a story, you'll get a free copy of the book, because we are still going to take stories up through the end of this year. Yes, Shelley?
Did my stories make it?
Yes.
All 11
no,
of them?
No,
no. No?
You got one story.
One?
In the book.
Well, then you're going to have like, 11.
Miss Grady over here.
No.
I mean, there's thousands of people vying for, like, spaces in this book. And, like, how many, 100 stories? 50 stories?
That I've received?
No, that have made the final cut.
Oh, have made the final cut? About 100, yeah.
All right, but out of thousands of people that are vying for space in one of these 100 books, Shelley wants all 11 of these 100 spots? Come on, Shelley!
You got to bribe me for that. You got to grease this
Don't make promises you can't keep, Shelley.
Fine.
We hope this becomes a series, and maybe we'll publish 11 books, and you'll get one in each book.
I have many more stories.
See, my story didn't even make it. Thanks, Josh.
That's true. She wants 11, and you didn't even get one.
Hey,
I submitted my story, but Josh came up to me as a forest. I love you as a friend, but your story was not good enough. I'm sorry.
Hey, I followed the directions.
It's true. It's true. Don't you feel awful sitting here in front of Forrest and saying this? He feels terrible right now, thanks to you.
Thanks to me? You're the one that broke his heart.
Because you get to be in the book, and he doesn't, and he's been a paranormal investigator for a long time.
25 years.
25 years.
Uh-huh.
You feel awful right now.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to make up
terrible.
I don't. Sorry.
For those of you who think that you are good enough, that you can make the cut, go to creepylittletales.com because we are going to be accepting stories till the end of the year. And you want to be a part of this, trust me, because I'm planning on turning it into a little TV series.
You mean I can try again?
You can try
again. You can try again.
We'll leave that door open for you. Hey, look, I promised a McDonald's story. This is from Brunswick, Ohio. 1 o'clock in the morning, the police department there received a call about a reckless driver, and they actually got there quickly. They located him behind the wheel of a silver SUV that was just departing McDonald's. So they turn their lights on, and the guy decides not to pull over. So he's leading the cops on a chase after he's pulled out of McDonald's. And we all know how this goes. We've all seen this on TV. They see the guy swerving a little bit. He doesn't look like he's driving properly. And they're just waiting to see, you know, how crazy is this man? What's he going to do? Finally, the guy pulls over. And the cops, you know, run up there with their guns out. And the guy is sitting there behind the driver's wheel, looking very relaxed, and he says, "Hey guys, I just wanted to eat my Big Mac before I stopped." Honestly, that was the whole, I mean, they say he also smelled of booze, and he was slurring a little bit, but he acted like, come on, give me a little...
Have a heart.
Yeah, there you go. What more... Can a guy ask? Give me a chance to finish my
Big
Mac.
I'm already screwed. I'm going to be arrested. Let me just please eat my Big Mac enjoy it while I can.
There you go. That's probably in the handbook. Cops are supposed to give you one little mulligan if you have a Big Mac. His alcohol content was 3 times the legal limit, so he's in a bit of trouble now. Apparently that is not cool to eat a Big Mac before you pull over for the cops, so... That's our public service announcement. Here we go. This is interesting. You guys fans of Iron Man?
Yeah.
Well, apparently a real-life Iron Man suit has been commissioned by the U.S. military. It's called a Tactical Assault Light Operator Suit, and it provides the wearer with superhuman abilities like night vision, enhanced strength, and protection from gunfire. It would allow the wearer to literally walk through a stream of bullets. Each suit has an onboard computer that can instantly respond to certain situations and provide the user with enhanced situational awareness. This is being developed by MIT. They say it may use liquid armor, which has the ability to transform from a liquid to a solid in milliseconds when a magnetic field or electrical current is applied. So you can walk through a stream of bullets as it's measuring your skin temperature, heart rate, hydration levels, providing all the life support, and you're like RoboCop at this point. So it's just going to take, who's that one rogue soldier who's going to go on a rampage with this thing? You remember that cop who flipped out earlier this year and started killing other cops
in California?
Imagine if he had the Iron Man suit. We're going to take a break. When we come back, apparently Russia has made an admission about space aliens. This is interesting. And I do want to tell you a little bit about why this time of year, Halloween time, is so special. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Anderson might do something.
The thing about John Anderson is his voice just sounds so darn warm and friendly. I mean, you meet him and he's a gigantic guy with these big piercing eyes who just dominates everything in the room, and you're just cowering down. It goes back to Mad Dog and Inbred Rednecks. But he's just, you know, he's a gentle giant. He's the voice of the mountains. And it's kind of funny because one time I was writing something that I was going to turn into an audiobook, and I mentioned to Lauren, I don't know, maybe I'd had a bad day or something, and I was like, I hope I don't die before I get to read this. And she was like, well, if you died, I'll get John Anderson to read it. So that's actually a good idea.
Or kind of cold.
No, John has a great voice.
Yeah, well, he would be the next. I would want John to read it. I would want John to be... John is next in line to read anything that I would have read. Hey, I'm Joshua P. Warren, your host, the Wizard of Weird. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. And, Tales from the Dark Side, Twilight Zone, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, all these little classic shows, they remind you of this time of year when it seems like anything can happen. And I know it's more so in some areas than others. Why is that? Well, here is why I think Halloween, the Halloween season, is such a special time. For one thing, obviously everybody has this expectation that anything can happen, and that helps anything happen. When you just start thinking that way, you become aware, you manifest stuff. But the more technical answer is, people are always asking me, why is it that ghosts seem to appear more at night? Well, for one thing, ghosts are more visible at night, because a lot of times ghosts are sort of faint, luminous forms. But secondly, it's because that the Earth at night is turned away from the sun, at least that side of the Earth is. And the side of the Earth that's facing the sun is being blasted with an enormous amount of radiation, and that is compressing the Earth's magnetic field, or magnetosphere. The side of the Earth away from the sun is nice and expanded, and it's just stretching out into outer space. It looks like a comet tail. And that's why, at night, you can pick up radio stations that are hundreds or thousands of miles away that you can't pick up during the day, because the electromagnetic atmosphere is much calmer, and the frequencies, the waves, are able to bounce at different angles and go farther. And so it is a better environment for subtle electromagnetic energies to materialize. Now, you apply that to this time of year. This time of year, in this country, this part of the world, the Earth in general is tilting more away from the sun because it's getting cooler here. You know, we're going into the fall, we're heading into the winter. So what that means is that we are in this transitional period moving away from the sun, and so that even compounds what happens at nighttime around here. And I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, you take that and you mix that with the expectation that people have, it greatly increases the odds that something paranormal is going to happen around Halloween. Do you experience more spooky stuff around Halloween, Shelley?
I do. I do experience more spooky stuff around Halloween. And I do believe those reasons that you gave. But if people think that they're not going to be able to see a ghost in the daytime, but that they're safe in the daytime from seeing things like that, yeah, they're wrong.
Well, I think most of the time when people see ghosts during the daytime, they don't know they're looking at a ghost.
They probably don't. Or they're so busy that they don't, you know, they don't realize it.
Yeah.
Or they're like, eh, I just don't have time for this.
Sure. Well, you've never seen an alien, have you?
No.
And
as far as I know.
You know, it's funny because there is a certain fear that comes from seeing a ghost, but there's another fear that comes from seeing an alien. And the more you look at the fear of both, the more they tend to have in common, the deeper you dig, because either way, we're just talking about encountering something we don't understand fully, right? And here's a story from Russia. Russian space officials have admitted that they do not have a strategy for combating space aliens, but that the United States does. And if there were a galactic, or I should say maybe intergalactic invasion, that Russia counts on the U.S. to protect them. Now, for one thing, before I continue, it's hard for me to believe that Russia would not be just as well, if not better, prepared to fight off aliens than the U.S. Because the Russians, during the Cold War, those guys were way ahead of us, in my opinion, on paranormal technologies. They had a much more open mind.
Yeah.
I think that was because they were a little more desperate. I mean, they didn't have the financial resources that we had, and therefore, they were trying to be creative. But the story goes on to say, a team of scientists from America's NASA Planetary Science Division have disagreed. And they say, while humanity has not yet observed any extraterrestrial intelligence, contact with ET remains possible. But the Pentagon, they claim, is not taking any chances. In fact, a professor here, who was a history teacher at the U.S. Air Command and Staff College in Alabama, last year says that Washington has plans for even the least likely military threats, including attackers from beyond the solar system. He said, quote, "We make all kinds of contingency and war plans." He went on to say, the first thing you would need to do is preserve your forces. After that, learn as much about the enemy as possible. And they believe that aliens, if they decided to attack, would probably target Earth's communication networks and its most potent weapons, nukes. Now, remember October 31st of 1930, what was it, 31 or 2 or whatever, when Orson Welles did his infamous broadcast,
right,
War of the Worlds?
Mm-hmm.
That shows that relationship between Halloween and alien invasion. Are you looking that up for us?
Yeah.
Yeah. When did Orson Welles... And what's so cool about that Orson Welles broadcast is that it was broadcast on this station that we're talking on right now.
Really?
Yeah. The original broadcast. This radio station is one of the oldest radio stations in the United States. News Radio 570, our flagship station here. And I don't even know how long it's been around now.
1938.
That was 38 when he did the broadcast. Okay. So, yeah. And, you know, people panicked. And it was a good example of how people would react if something like that actually went down. Something like that actually happened. Oh, let's see here. Here's an interesting story. Actually, I think I'm going to save that one till after we come back from the break, because that's pretty good. You need, anytime you have a McDonald's story and then you go to a Disney story.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good show right there. So, yeah, I think that we probably have all kinds of military contingencies. And I remember, I guess, several years ago, I had, I believe his name was Nick Pope, on the program, and he used to be the head of the UK ministry that dealt with, aerial affairs or something like that. I don't remember exactly what his title was, but he was a legitimate mainstream guy in the UK and the English government there. And I'll never forget one thing that he said when I asked him about how the governments would deal with alien invasions. And he said that he knew that there were plans out there in place. But he said that in England, a lot of the information that they had within their ministry about the UFOs was considered, quote, too sensitive to commit to paper, end quote. And I thought, wow, what a concept. That there are things that are just so secretive, you can't even write them down. And I know that mentality exists in various secret societies, but within a government, it's really interesting to think that there are guys who sit around and talk about something as major as a possible UFO invasion or some type of contact, and then say, but it's too important for us to write down, because if this fell into the wrong hands, we'd be screwed. So, yeah, that seems to be part of the plan. A guy in Iowa is in trouble. Iowa City, Iowa. He was arrested after he called the cops to say that he got stiffed on a drug deal. 57 years old, he called the police at 11:30 in the morning, said that he'd not been properly paid by the guy that he he sold some illegal drugs to, prescription pills. Coming up on a break, aren't we, Forrest? All right. He said about 230 pills. He was supposed to be paid $1.25 per pill. That's a lot of money, he said. Obviously, the cops informed him he could not be selling drugs like that. That is against the law. When we come back, a nice little Disney story for you. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange. Thank you. voices.
Dracula?
Yeah.
Yes, I knew that. I knew that.
From the original 1931 movie, I believe. With Bela Lugosi.
Bella.
Listen to them. The children of the night. What music they make. I never drink wine.
What a guy Bela Lugosi was. And of course, we have a special affinity for Dracula because, well, we went to his castle last year. We went to Transylvania and Romania. It's amazing to see how the real guy was turned into the fictional guy. They're very different. And yet charming in their own separate way. We're in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's show. Can you believe it?
Flying by.
It really is. Next hour, we're going to go to Pinhead's graveyard, where I understand people are actually being tortured live in the field. Maybe I should say dead in the field. And then also we're going to talk to Mr. Mobius. He has some updates for us on UFO activity. Because I was listening to Coast AM just a few days ago, and Peter Davenport came on from the National UFO Reporting Center and was talking about how many UFOs have been seen over the past week in North Carolina. And they are especially seeing big orange balls of light streaking through the sky. So I'm keeping my eyes on the skies when I go outside. See, that when stuff like that's going on, you know that something is building in the air. That's why you should come hang out with us this month. Do one of our haunted Asheville tours. Trolley tours, walking tours, vampire and occult tour. The oldest and original. Go to hauntedasheville.com. The company was created by me. I was the guy who wrote the original book of Asheville ghost stories. Hauntedasheville.com. Here's a story from Orlando, Florida. Says here, three Disney cast members were beaten silly by a drunk Disney guest. Before officers arrived, the call was upgraded because the suspect reportedly struck Goofy with a metal pipe. When an Orange County deputy arrived, the man was already secured by another off-duty deputy in a seated position and was bleeding from the knees, wrists, and hands. The suspect was yelling that there were demons everywhere around him, continuing to cause a huge disturbance in the park, panicking many small children in the area. Now, I'm reading up to this point, and I'm thinking, what a jerk, right? And then I read this next sentence, and I'm like, ooh, maybe I get it. Listen to this. The man had just come off the It's a Small World ride in a state of total agitation. You know how many serial killers or mass murderers or madmen have been found with Catcher in the Rye in their backpack?
Right.
Guess what I'm seeing now as a new pop culture pattern here.
It's a Small World.
It's a Small World is driving people insane. And we can relate to this because Forrest and I have talked about this before, being docked in the Bahamas or somewhere like that, and the Disney cruise ship was beside our ship, blasting It's a Small World 24/7. And it did have this type of enraging effect. I mean, I can see that'd be one of the things that, like, if you're trying to get Noriega to come out of his compound, you should be blasting that in your collection of AC/DC or whatever. According to reports, this man was yelling incoherent statements at the Disney characters and appeared to go totally berserk. He resisted all attempts to escort him to the security office. At that time, he got out of the deputy's hold, fell, and began bleeding after injuring his chin and jaw. He was transported to Celebration Hospital, where he... Isn't that like a Disney hospital? Okay. Celebration Hospital. Boy, those guys at Disney are good, aren't they? They can put a spin on anything. Where he received stitches in his chin. The first victim, a pirate, was punched in the head area, causing a large gash across his forehead. Well, that'll be good for
his act.
Exactly. The second victim, also a pirate, was punched in the face. Again, what do you expect? The third victim, Snow White, she was struck in the left cheek and neck with a plastic PVC pipe. Nah, it's not good for her act. Causing swelling behind her ear. She's not Snow White anymore. She's black and blue. The suspect was treated on the scene while the two victims were transported to, yes, Celebration Hospital.
Well, I guess Quasimodo needs a new actor now. So she can play him.
Exactly. You got to be flexible.
He doesn't strike back.
Times are tough. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we will go straight to Pinhead's Graveyard. Ooh. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The show where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking of Strange.